Amen. Good morning. It's good to be with you. If you are a visitor today, please know that the senior pastor or the teaching elder is not here today, so please come back next week. I am a far cry from Seth, and I really do, I probably say this every time, but I love to hear him preach and teach God's word. He has a gift, and more importantly, he loves you dearly, and really puts in the preparation so that he can bring you God's word so that God might bless you through it. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. This is the parable of Jesus called the Great Banquet. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to begin in verse 12. And the message today really will be simple. There's three parts of the message. The backstory, the story, the parable that Jesus tells, and then three conclusions. So the backstory, the parable, and then three conclusions. And what I'd like to do is at the beginning, I'd like to give you the applications that will form the conclusion. And I trust that we'll get to those at the end. Those applications are, if you're writing down, if you do have your notes, if you're a note taker, an invitation. Excuse me. Getting set up here. A warning, an invitation, and a mission to be accomplished. So a warning against presumption, an invitation that still stands today, and a mission to be accomplished. Let's go ahead and read the scripture together. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. This is God's word. May he bless the reading of his word. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' And then another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and he reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and he ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has already been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you. The flowers fade, Lord, but your word endures. And I do pray now in the moments that follow, Lord, that you, Jesus, would invite men and women to come. Lord, for each day and every day, Lord, help us to come to you and to the banquet that you offer, the unfathomable riches that we have in you. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, and I pray that you would now, in this time, open our eyes to see beautiful things in this word, in this story that you told. Help us to heed the warning. Help us to understand and rejoice in the invitation. And help us to be committed to the mission. So speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. Well, the first part of the message is the backstory. I think to understand any of the parables that Jesus tells, it's important to understand the backstory. It's important to understand the context. Verse 1 reminds us that Jesus is at the house of a Pharisee. It's the Sabbath. He's been invited to the house of a Pharisee for a dinner, but the dinner is not to honor Jesus. The dinner is to watch him carefully. This is a point where there's a lot of tension. He has been doing things, and the Pharisees are getting more and more angry, and they're wanting to try to get something against him. They're wanting to try to catch him. So he's at a dinner that is not just a fun Thanksgiving gathering where everybody is happy. You can feel the tension at this meeting, at this gathering, this home. And Jesus has been doing some teaching. He's been teaching on the kingdom of God. He's been teaching on humility. And at this dinner, there is a man, and this is the Sabbath, there's a man with what's called dropsy. It's an abnormal swelling of his body. And Jesus, in the beginning of chapter 14, he says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remain silent. And so he heals the man. And then he goes on with some teaching, and you can kind of just feel the tension in this home. You can feel what it's like. Jesus is teaching, but he's got people in this room, and he knows their hearts. He knows their entitlement. He knows their legalism. He knows where they're at in relationship to God. He knows where we're at in relationship to God with how we're really living. And at this dinner, somebody who overhears the conversation realizes he's talking about the kingdom of God. And he stands up and he does a toast. And this is verse 15 of your scripture. As the meal is being served, this man stands up and he says, raises his glass, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now that might seem like maybe this guy's getting it. Maybe this guy's tracking with what Jesus is saying. He's saying, yes, blessed are those who will really eat in the feast at the kingdom of God. It's a reference to Isaiah chapter 25. But this was a formula toast. So this was actually a toast that had an expected response. As I was reading about this and reading some of the old commentary, this is like in a lot of settings. We have easier ones today, but if I were to say to you all, God is good, there's probably going to be some people that are going to say what? Come on. All the time. And I'm going to say, but all the time, God is good. And then we do little bro hugs and we celebrate that. We know, we both know that. But in this, that's what was expected now. So this man in this kind of unique setting, and some people are tense and people are watching Jesus, and this man raises his toast and he says, blessed are all who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, the expected response, and this comes from Isaiah 25, the expected response was that Jesus would say, O Lord, that we may be among the righteous and be counted worthy to sit with men of renown on that great day. Now, all of this can be understood better if you look back at Isaiah 25. In Isaiah 25, just a few verses. This is verses 6, 7, and 8. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine and rich food and full of marrow, aged wine well refined, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord himself has spoken. At any banquet, at any get-together, even imagine our Thanksgiving feast, it would be common for someone at some point to say, to just considering this feast, when you kind of sit down, you're like, look at everything that everyone has made. It would be common for someone to say, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then that was the response. So everybody in the room is looking at Jesus and they're waiting for him to give the expected response. And he says, let me tell you a story. And this is where the story begins. So the backstory is that the story that Jesus tells, again, begins in verse 16 when he says a certain man was preparing a great banquet. There's three scenes that are in this story that Jesus tells. The first scene is the invitation, an invitation to a banquet. Verse 16, a man was preparing a great banquet and he invited many guests. Now, before you get to verse 17, you kind of have to understand the way that a banquet would be given and how big of a deal it was. There would be kind of two stages to the invitation. I would call those very similar to RSVPs today. When people plan a wedding, they send out the RSVPs, and so they know exactly how many people are going to be at the wedding. Back in this day, if someone was going to give a banquet, he could send out the servants to go to everyone that they could think of that they were planning to invite and say, you're invited to this banquet. And the person, if they gave their word and said, I'd love to come to the banquet, then the servants would go back and be able to report. You know, when we do a big meal today, now I don't do very much. Janessa pretty much does everything, but I try to just do whatever Janessa says, and I can at any moment run to Hy-Vee or in the day of refrigeration and electricity, we can bring together a meal pretty easily. But in this day, deciding how many animals would need to be slaughtered and all of the preparation, it needed to happen in a timely manner. And so the first stage was kind of like the RSVP, send out the servants. The second stage was now send out the servants and say, come, everything is now ready. The banquet is ready. And in that day, people would just stop what they're doing and go. And so when Jesus tells this story, you kind of have to understand the way the invitations would go out. The servants would go out the first time and then the second time. And so scene one, really, Jesus is telling the story. It's very familiar to people. The invitations go out to the banquet. Now, scene two is what I've entitled, oh, you know what? Something's come up, or the excuses. And so the servants in verse 17, they go out and they say, come, for everything is ready. But verse 18 says they begin to make excuses. Now, to understand these excuses are, sometimes I think if you have read this scripture, maybe for the first or second time, you say, these seem like good excuses. And actually, the excuses that Jesus gives, that the people are giving, are very illegitimate, and they're also very blatant lies. The first excuse, the man says, I've bought a field, and I must go and see it. Now, the process for buying a field in that day was a very elaborate. You couldn't buy a field without having gone through a certain number of steps to go and inspect that field, to go through a process of remembering the history of the field. And then you would even have to go to the village elders and leaders to process that purchase of that field. There would be no way that you could just say, oh, you know what? I just bought a field and I have to go look at it. And the second excuse is very similar. The man says, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go and inspect them. Now, I was trying to think of an example to help that make sense, but if Tracy and Steve Curran had invited us over for the weekend on Monday, and on Friday, you know, we're supposed to go over to their house, and I actually text Steve and I said, you know what, we're not going to be able to come. I bought 5 cars on Craigslist, and I actually better go and check them out to make sure that they run. You would say that doesn't make any sense. And in the same way with the field and with the oxen, this excuse is a completely blatant lie. There would be no way that person would have had to go and see if the oxen can pull together, to see if they're healthy, to see if they're worth purchasing. He wouldn't have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and say he needs to now go look at them after he has purchased them. Now, the third excuse, some people probably read it and say that's legitimate. The third excuse says, I've married a wife. This is verse 20. I just got married, so I can't come. Now, again, thinking about that, I actually had the opportunity to do a Kareni wedding yesterday, and I used the parable of the banquet. Which wife does not want to get dressed up and go to a banquet? First of all, that's not an excuse. But again, this would be very similar to the first excuse, or the second excuse, in that when the first invitation went out, the man either would have been married or not married. The celebrations of a wedding were very elaborate processes. And so for that person to say that again is a very illegitimate excuse, very, very much a blatant lie. And here's the thing that Jesus is getting at. It's not really about the excuses. It's about their desires. It's about what they're valuing. And it's about the fact that to them, spending time with the landowner, with the one that's inviting them, was not important to them. There was no value on that. So it's not about the desires, the longings. It's what it really is about is what is of greater value. And then the third scene of the story is the show must go on. The excuses have come. Those that were invited will not come, but the again, in verse 21, the servant comes back and reports, and the owner says, then go quickly into the streets and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the servant says, what you say has been done. The master says, go into the country roads, into the lanes. In other words, find anyone that wants to come. And again, I think really when I look at this parable, what the thing that Jesus is getting at is he's drawing contrast now to two different groups of people. There are people who want what the Lord offers, the fellowship that the Lord offers, the unfathomable riches of all that we have in Christ. And then there are people who are living in such a way where they're prioritizing other things. You know, the people that are at this meeting or at this gathering, at this dinner that is being hosted, these are the religious people. These are the people that would be very similar to many of us in this room, where they know things about God. They show up on the Sabbath. They're doing the things that make them look like they're following the Lord. But when he gives this example, he really says there's kind of two different groups of people. There are people that really value fellowship with the Lord, and there are people who don't. And the first group of people I would characterize as independent, wealthy, self-sufficient, preoccupied, self-assured, and satisfied. And that's many of us. And I've thought a lot about this week, just kind of thinking about this parable, what Jesus really, what he has. And I actually have been very convicted, because even when I think about what it is to be preoccupied, and I don't know what those things are for you, but boy, when you get into the week, there are so many things that can preoccupy our hearts. We can be thinking about our children. We can be thinking about things that we're doing. We can be thinking about our jobs, and we have to be, in terms of where God has us, to be honoring him with our jobs, honoring him as husbands and wives and as parents. But there also are so many other things in the era of social media, in the era of youth sports that is now an empire, and I'm preaching it myself. I can find myself continually thinking about so many things that don't matter, to the point of then when the Lord is inviting me to come, to open this up and to spend time with him, and to just rejoice in the banquet that's offered to us every day in fellowship with God, there can be a part of me that's like, oh, but I need to keep going with this thing. I need to get these emails out. I need to keep preparing for this or that. And here's what Jesus is saying. The poor, the crippled, this other group that end up coming, the blind, when they're invited, they're saying, there's nothing in my world that I would value more highly than this. And I would ask the question today, I wrote down, has your heart been divided recently? I love the Psalm 86:11 verse came to me just this last Monday. And it says, Lord, give us an undivided heart that we might walk in your ways. Have you been preoccupied with things or valuing other things so that even in a given day when the Lord says, come and have fellowship with me, come and rejoice with me, do you have an excuse? Do you have something that you're prioritizing more? You know, this invitation, it's more than just an invitation to heaven. It is a reference to heaven. It is a reference to the messianic banquet referred to in Isaiah 25. But there's an invitation daily that God gives. And so we have the invitation. We have the excuses. We have the show must go on. And now already, if you're looking at your outline, he's at the third part of the message. But the three applications that really form our conclusion, and that's just a warning against presumption. We need to be cautious of mistaking familiarity with Christ and his words with a genuine, repentant, trusting faith in Christ. This is an explanation. This is Alistair Begg. This is an explanation for why there can be for us a disconnect between the words of our mouth and sometimes the hollow follow through and the obedience that we know that the Lord has for us. And I even, Alan, I don't know, did you write that prayer of confession? That is, you know, that was a sermon in and of itself, but there's a lot of threads of what this is all about. You know, any given day for us, you know, I never want to come and have us as believers doubt our assurance of who we are in Christ. But every day there's a warning for us of prioritizing other things more than we prioritize the Lord, treasuring other things more than we treasure the Lord. And even in this parable, there's a warning against a presumption that you are something because of your knowledge, because of your familiarity. And is there truly a following of the Lord? Is there an obedience? Is there a desire to delight in God's word and delight in his ways? Is there a desire that you have each day to delight in him? And so there's a warning in here really for people to not presume that they are something. Yes, grace is free, but it's never cheap. There's a cost. Jesus has paid an inestimable price to make good on the invitation, but the clear warning is this: don't let any excuse justify giving higher priority to anything above your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and your commitment to walking with Him in discipleship. It's not your job, not your stuff, not your family, your kids' activities, not your future. It's a warning against presumption. You know, many in this room have been walking with the Lord for many years by God's grace. If that's you, I praise God for that. But I know for me, again, becoming a believer in my younger years, really seeing God transform my life in my teens, and now being a man who's in his 40s that has I got a lot of things, and I know everyone in this room, you got a lot of things on your plate, but the Lord is always beckoning you, come to me. Come to me for the banquet. Come to me to have fellowship. Come to me for your joy. And there's so many things to be preoccupied with. And it's easy to go weeks and even months on a cruise control, on a level to with which you're just really banking everything on your familiarity with Christ and His words. Many people in this room, you probably know God's word by God's grace awfully well, but there's still a level to with which there's so many things that pull on us. Even as we prayed that prayer of confession, brothers and sisters, that's all of us. All of us have that propensity, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And yet the Lord invites us daily, come to me. You know, the warning is there. The warning is there if you can live years, even decades of your life, believing that you're something that you're not, and find out that you've really missed the boat. And I think that this is a warning that Jesus has for these guys in this room, in this dinner, but it's also a warning that He has for us. Let's make sure that we're sincere. Let's make sure that we're sincerely loving and treasuring and following the Lord. There's a warning, number one, but there's an invitation that still stands. This is the encouragement. There's a warning, but there's an encouragement that Jesus gives. If you look again at verse 17, and this is, if you're starting to tune out, if there's something I really want you to never read this scripture again without remembering, it's these words in verse 17 when Jesus tells this parable. And He says, at the time of the banquet, He sent the servants who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. I want you to think about those words, come, for everything is now ready. Come, for everything is now ready. You know, when I grew up in a friend's church, or a Quaker church, if you're familiar with that. But there's these paintings that you have that I always thought, I think these are just Quaker paintings. But you actually see them in other churches as well. But the lady Marjorie, who was my very first ever Sunday school teacher, had a painting in her house that had this picture of this great banquet and these words. And I honestly haven't really put this together until this week. So this is kind of a fun one for me. Because you see these things when you're little and you're like, oh yeah, she has that painting. But it said, come, for everything is now ready. And here's the invitation. Here's the invitation of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, through His life, His death, His wrath-absorbing death on our behalf, and His resurrection, has prepared everything for us. And the invitation, Jesus stands with open arms and He says, come, everything is now ready. And there are people in your life, there are people in this world that the world views as those that have nothing. And when that invitation comes, they'll come running. They'll say, there's nothing more that I would rather do than enjoy the fullness of what God has for me. And the invitation is to us. You know, I actually loved this quote. This was helpful for me from a wording standpoint. When you think about just daily the way the Lord invites you, Sinclair Ferguson said, the invitation stands not only at the end of your life, and it does that also. There is a messianic banquet for us yet to come, but it also stands at the beginning of each day. When you wake up tomorrow, the Lord Jesus says, come, for everything is now ready. It's all prepared. Come meet with me, not just at the beginning of the day, but throughout the day. I've prepared a day in which you'll come to know me to be more precious to you than anything else. Your greatest treasure. That's the encouragement. That's the invitation. There is a warning. There is an invitation that still stands. And number three, there is a mission to be accomplished. You know, there's a redundant usage of the poor, the crippled, the lame. You know, why does Jesus use that wording over multiple times. But in verse 23, he says, go into the roads, the country lanes, and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. You know, I've by God's grace, I've really enjoyed being a board member at Freedom for Youth Ministries. Anybody familiar with Freedom for Youth Ministries? I'm not going to waste time, but it's a ministry down at Martin Luther King and Hickman that has now reached more and more communities throughout Iowa. And we have employment training. But this verse is probably the verse that Mark Nelson, the director of Freedom, refers to more than anything. You know, Freedom for Youth exists to reach those at-risk and impoverished youth with the message of the gospel. And Mark will say often, guys, I still think we need to go out into the lanes and the country roads, you know. And so this is a verse that I've always treasured. But, you know, truthfully, when we're spending our time preoccupied with everything from our family and our jobs and the things that we're focused on or social media or every other thing, we're so much less committed to what God has really called us to, which is the mission. That some people will preach this parable and they'll preach the whole sermon just on this, but there is a mission to be accomplished. You know, where is God sending you? What, maybe it isn't at work. Maybe it is, you know, to the person that works right next to you. Maybe it is to the person that lives right next to you. Maybe it is to, you know, the families of your children's sports teams. But maybe God's calling you to go out and to reach maybe the least of these, maybe those that the world kind of overlooks, those who really are without. You know, you think about that list of people, the poor, you know, the crippled, the blind. You know, they're probably not out buying fields. You know, the poor don't have money to be buying fields. The blind, the crippled, you know, they're not doing these other things. So when that invitation comes to them, this is really what Jesus is saying. They'll immediately respond in a way that says, I would love to. You know, I think sometimes we spend so much of our time with probably the people in the first group. And I do think that there's an encouragement for us to be looking for those that need to hear the message of hope, that need to hear the message of the gospel, that need to hear the message to come. Everything is now ready. You know, the gospel message, and we rejoice in it daily, is truly, as the prayer of confession, we are more sinful and wayward than sometimes we even believe, but we are far more accepted and loved in the Lord Jesus Christ than we ever dreamed. And when we think of the force of his death for us and his life given to us and what he offers to us, you know, it really should compel us to want to go and to share that message with someone. And there are so many people hurting right now that I you know, you could spend so much time, but the world right now is so divisive and so broken, and so many people are hurting, and I feel like the world is touchier, but yet in some ways the world just needs the message of the gospel. And people need to hear the invitation. People need to hear the Lord Jesus is saying, come, everything is prepared. We don't come on the merits of what we've done. We don't come on the basis of anything that we've righteous act or church attendance or anything that we've done. We come because our Lord Jesus Christ is a great Savior. We are great sinners, and he is a great Savior, and he has prepared everything. It's all prepared, and the invitation is to come and to celebrate, to rejoice. You know, I pray for someone today, if there's anyone here today that is not trusted the Lord. They see this parable, they hear this parable. As it's unpacked, the Spirit is working in your heart to say, I want to receive that. I want to receive that gift. I want to trust Christ. I want to come to him and receive what he's done for me. But for many of you, this is such a church of wonderful brothers and sisters that love the Lord, but I know that life is busy, and I know that you can identify with that first group sometimes where life is busy and they're preoccupied with things. And I just want to encourage you, that invitation daily stands for you to rejoice in the banquet that the Lord has prepared for you, just to treasure him above every other thing. Hear the warning. Don't prioritize anything. I know, I feel like the Spirit's been at work in my life recently, because I was telling Nate, I think before the service, I don't even like basketball season. I got 5 kids that play in like 7 or 8 different settings, and I just almost wish I get to the end of it. They probably won't listen to this message and hear it. But the truth is that I want to enjoy fellowship with my family, and I want us to treasure Christ together. That's where life is. That's where joy is. That's where hope is. That's where peace is. But yet we live our lives and we have excuses to justify what we're doing. And in the same way, we're passing on what the Lord has for us. And for each and every person, that's different. But I encourage you just to hear the warning, but remember the encouragement. The invitation stands. And Jesus, we live in a period of time and history where the invitation is for people to come. And there's a mission to be accomplished. What do you want to spend your life doing? What do you want to be about? What is Grace Life want to be about? We want to be going. You know, I was talking to a couple of you guys about what God is doing in this fellowship, in this body. But boy, we just pray God would expand our boundaries, that not only would we fill this church with believers that love the Lord, but there would also be people who would come, people from anywhere that are far from God, that they would become devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people far from God would be raised to life, new life in Christ. That's what we want to be about. Amen. 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 But the invitation still stands. I pray, you don't go back through this message, this message of the great banquet, and remember Jesus telling this story when somebody says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom. And Jesus tells this story. There's a warning, but there's an encouragement. There's an invitation. And he invites us to come. He invites you to come. I pray the Lord Jesus is speaking to you somewhere in your heart and your life. Come to him and just enjoy all the unfathomable riches that we have in Christ. So easy to prioritize things that don't really matter. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this fellowship. God, I pray for your spirit to be at work in our hearts today. Lord, as we even think about the week to come, Lord, I pray that we would understand there's a mission, Lord, that you've called us. There's purposes for each day that you have prepared in advance for us. Lord, and I pray that you would lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I pray that you would give us just a heart for the lost. Lord, it's easy for us to, our lives get so busy. There's easy to be preoccupied with things. Lord, but do not allow us, warn us to not justify excuses to prioritize other things over the banquet that you offer us each and every day. Lord, you are good. Lord, there is nothing that we desire more than you. Lord, I pray that we would come to you on the basis of what you've done for us. You've prepared everything for us. I pray that we would come to you and rejoice in you. Be our greatest treasure, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters as they live this week for you, Lord. Open up doors. Open up opportunities to share with somebody the hope of the gospel, the invitation that still stands for them. Lord, help us to be your people. Help us to shine brightly for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.